AM 1420, WASR Wolfboro, W246DI Wolfboro at 97.1 FM. Local, community, radio.
And now, live from WASR Socially Distant Studios, the best sports show on this station at this time. It's Mike and the Haas on WASR, powered by the Yum Yum Shop in downtown Wolfboro, Kingswood Sports, New Hampshire Sports, and National Sports. So here they are, Mike Denae and Charlie Hossick.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Mike and the Haas on WASR Radio, powered by the Yum Yum Shop. I'm Mike Denae, and alongside Charlie Hossack, we are Mike and the Haas. Charlie, before I say how you're doing,
yes,
all the way from Tokyo.
I know.
By way of the Yum Yum Shop.
Finally made it.
For the whole show.
No, I'm not from Tokyo anymore. No. That's over and done with.
Our most favorite guest.
Our most favorite guest.
Definitely. I've been looking forward to this. He comes to the studio, hangs out with us, has a lot to share, and I'm looking forward to hearing everything Olympics. He's probably sick and tired of talking about it, but
whatever.
Just at least one more time, Josh.
No problems.
Will this be the last time you talk about it?
You never stop talking about it.
Really?
Okay. You're always talking about it, bringing it up here and there.
Until he gets to Beijing.
You got another Olympics coming up in less than 6 months, so yep, it'll be there.
You already have your tickets for that, and that's all set up?
I don't have my plane tickets yet, no. I'm looking to take a boat, because after my plane disaster on the way home, I'm looking to take a boat to China.
Cruise to Beijing. Yeah. Slow boat to China.
Yeah.
There
awesome.
You go.
And how are you doing, Charlie?
You know what? I'm doing fantastic, and I know you've been waiting for this, so couple of thank yous. First of all, thank you for the lawn mow,
yep.
as usual. Much appreciated. And thank you for the opportunity to spend a little bit of time with you out on your boat on Lake Winnipesaukee. It was a wonderful experience. We got to have great conversation.
We had a romantic cruise around a couple of the islands.
Nice. Great conversation. Saw a lot of loons and got to go under the bridge, which I've never done in Wolfboro, which was fantastic. So thank you, Mike. I can never say again that I've never been on your boat. And I hope this isn't the last time. Whoever's
listening is thankful also.
Yes, I hope this isn't the last time. I hope we could continue maybe this as a tradition in the future.
Okay. And Eric, how are you doing today?
Pretty good. It's a nice day. You know,
it's gorgeous today.
It is beautiful.
Last week was a little oppressive. Last week,
yeah,
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday was tough.
I brought all that back with me. You can blame me for that.
You did.
Was that what the weather was like?
It was
in Tokyo?
Like that every single day.
Wow. And I escaped. I actually went to Florida, where it was cooler than in Wolfboro, which was so crazy, huh?
Go figure.
How crazy is that? So, thanks again, Mike.
You're welcome. Mike and the Haas is powered by the Yum Yum Shop and located in the heart of downtown Wolfboro and can be found on WASR 97.1 FM and 1420 AM and all over the world on WASR.net. The Yum Yum Shop has over 100 varieties of fresh baked goods. Are you going to fact check us on that? Is it 100?
I'm sure it has to be. It feels that way.
Six different types of bread and a full-service ice cream bar, and, of course, their most famous item, Josh Baldnail gingerbread cookie. Make sure to visit the Yum Yum Shop the next time you are in Wolfboro or online at yumyumshop.com. And while you're there, enter the discount code of Mike and the Haas or WASR to receive $5 off a gingy box. You can join our conversation today, 569-LAKE, 569-5253. And as we mentioned, Josh Balding is in studio. He's going to share his Olympic thoughts. So if you have any questions about anything Olympics,
give us a call.
Josh is here.
569-5253. Josh is the man.
He knows everything about the Tokyo Olympics. He does not know everything about the Tokyo Olympics.
At least through your eyes. You know a lot through. You know a lot more than we do.
I know a lot about my personal experience at the Tokyo Olympics.
That's what we want to hear.
We're hoping to be enlightened a little bit because we had talked about it the past couple shows, you know, before we got a chance to talk to you. We were a little bit down on the Summer Olympics. Just on how the whole thing went, not on the athletes. You know, we certainly appreciate everything they did, but it just didn't. It seemed like a little bit of a thud. So we're looking forward to hearing your perspective on that, and if that was the case when you were there.
Yeah.
I mean, we were able to speak to you on the phone though too.
Yes, that's true.
Which was awesome.
At 5 a.m.
yeah. Thank you.
Josh he was very pleasant though early in the morning.
He really was with the Eric wake up call.
You got to wake up anytime. Anyways, might as well just get up.
What a way to wake up though! How wonderful. We should maybe market this Mike and the Haas wake up calls.
Yeah. Okay.
How wonderful would that be?
Yeah.
Eric was actually the one who made the wake up call. Though.
That's true.
Something you want to get into?
If there's money in it, why not?
There you go, Eric. Yeah, you get that. Get on that.
Our opening takes we kind of overlapped a little bit because
we did.
There was a big event that happened last Thursday that we didn't even.
That was awesome.
We didn't even talk about it.
We didn't really even prep it.
No, we didn't. And we had talked about it earlier in the year.
You know why? Because this is the first time we've been live since Monday, last week. It's been a week since we've been live.
We recorded the show
on Wednesday.
You're right. The Field of Dreams game happened on Thursday night. Yep. It was the New York Yankees against Chicago White Sox.
Yeah, Dyersville, Iowa.
And
you've been there, right, Josh? Josh has been there.
Okay.
So once again, Jesus. We have a guy that knows it all. So.
Perfect timing.
Yep.
Let me just ask you, what were your guys' feelings about the whole thing?
I mean, my feeling is it was absolutely positively the best thing that could have happened to baseball.
Absolutely, 100% agree.
Yeah, yep. I mean, I think
that just that whole experience of it, it looked. I mean, I didn't see it. I was in rehearsal. I in the right. show. We had rehearsal Thursday night, but I saw that. I went home. I watched that video of Kevin Costner coming out of the cornfield and just walking across the field, and then the players slowly coming out of the
right.
cornfield, and it's like it almost
Goose
gives
bumps.
You chills. It
yeah.
gives you chills because yeah. it's just, and it was just. You know, basically, you talked about before, baseball struggles to keep fans and struggles to, but that was a moment that just like, as a baseball fan, you're just like, wow, that's mm-hmm. pretty amazing.
And just like the promo videos and, you know, the hype videos and just something about it. Now here, I mean, I have to be honest. So 1989 was the film, right? Field of Dreams. So I truly believe, you know, people have said Field of Dreams, it's going to be our generation's A Wonderful Life. And I think it is. I mean, it was when we did top movies, that was my favorite movie, Mike. Field of Dreams. And
I told you Field of Dreams was our first date. Yep. My wife and I's first date was Field of Dreams.
Wow.
Yeah. And so it does hold a special place for us. I thought everything was great except for the Kevin Costner coming out of the corn. The corniness of it was
no pun intended with the corn, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I thought that was a little thick after a while. I thought that was a little thick. And they could have dialed that back a little bit because I thought it took away from a great venue and a great game and you know, Kevin Costner certainly, you know, angled himself into the middle of that whole thing.
As he should. I mean,
but I think there was a limit. I think there was a limit as far as how far he could have gone with that.
But think about this.
I'm sure he was just doing what he was told, too. I'm sure he was said, okay, take it out there, walk across the field, look around, you know, do your thing. I think that you needed to have that.
I'm not saying you didn't need to have some.
Yeah.
I just thought how thick it was laid on was just enough already, Kevin.
I don't know.
Let's go.
It felt good. And think about Kevin Costner for a minute. He had just finished filming back in the 80s, right? Finished Bull Durham. And when they went to approach him to see if he would take Field of Dreams, everyone was like, he's not going to take this. He just did a baseball movie. Why? He's not going to take this. So grateful that he did. Yeah. I mean, that movie, I mean, it just, there's so much we could talk about the movie. And the fact that they were able to get this next generation, like my kids are excited about Field of Dreams. They've seen it, but I mean, the fact that they were able to now they're selling Field of Dreams. They're selling the movies. They're going crazy. You know, Blu-ray, DVD, all that stuff.
I'm a Kevin Costner fan.
Yeah,
I am a Field of Dreams fan.
Yeah,
I think that was the most bunny part that anybody could have pulled that off. That is such a well-written character.
Oh, absolutely,
Ray Casella.
Ray Kinsella was a wonderfully written character, and you're right. Any actor could have done it, but any actor didn't do it.
Well,
it's Kevin Costner's character.
Yes. I just think that was a bunny as far as a character goes.
But that character was amazing.
I'm all in on Field of Dreams. I just thought at the game that it was a little thick, and the fact that it was the Yankees bothered me too. And, you know,
I'm glad they lost.
Brett Gardner coming out of the cornfield batting 185, like he's Shoeless Joe Jackson coming out there. It's like, give me a break.
You're going to have that in every team, though. Every team's going to have a 185 guy coming out of the cornfield. Yeah. It's just, you know, Red Sox do it. There's going to be some Red Sox guy coming out of the cornfield.
We used to have a 130 guy in JBJ. So,
I mean, they're going to do it again.
Currently.
So, you know, there'll be a different team that'll go out there and do it.
So getting to that, my take is actually that they need to do more of this. It needs to be expanded.
Yeah. Yes.
And that I think that every team should have a Field of Dreams game. The field is there now. The facility has been built.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. The facility is built, but the places or pieces around the facility evidently are temporary, so they put them up and they take them down, from what I understand.
Like the stands and stuff?
The stands and the...
So there's 32 Major League Baseball teams? Are they? Yeah. There's 32.
Yeah, 32.
So why couldn't you have 16 games there throughout the summer?
Oh, yeah. I think that's...
I think that's doable.
And it'd be a road trip for the fan base.
I think they're working on... Like, right now, this game, only people from Iowa could go.
Could attend, yeah.
You know, because Iowa doesn't have a Major League Baseball team.
Well, I think it was cool. The umpires, they got all the Iowa umpires to do the game. And anybody Iowa-related, they tried to get there.
Yeah, and it was it was good that, you know, these people don't have a Major League Baseball team. They don't have a team in their neck of the woods that can come and play. So let's give them a chance to see see a Major League Baseball game.
Yeah. I mean, it was the most watched MLB game in 16 years. I mean, almost 6 million people watched this across Fox.
You guys are taking me like I'm against this. I am
I
am all for this.
I know
I think it needs to expand it.
Yeah.
All I said was my critical part of it was that it was just laid on very thick at the very beginning. And not throughout the very beginning. For like the first half hour, it was just pitchfork thick. Yeah, you had to get through it. And it was enough. Let's play the game. Because the game itself was special. Playing in that setting was special. Yes. And I think that that's where I'm trying to go with this is that you didn't need all of the other stuff. And I understand you had to have some backdrop. Mm-hmm. But the game itself played in that setting was special. Doing batting practice on the original field that you went to, right?
Yeah.
Doing batting practice there. Good. Yep, all
very
for
cool.
It. And I think there should be a pilgrimage that every Major League Baseball team gets out there during the summer.
I think part of the issue with that is that, they're trying – like I said, they have said they're going to do it. They're going to go again. But part of the issue is that it's this travel thing. You have to figure out a way of when each team is traveling through that general vicinity.
I've solved this already.
Oh, yeah.
That's what Mike and the Haas do, solve things.
So when the Red Sox, for instance, go out on the West Coast and they have a West Coast trip, usually another American League East team goes out there at the same time. And that's generally divisions play divisions that very seldom does one team travel. It's usually a couple teams travel, a couple teams play home. And you can work that out. So, and I'm talking one game. I'm not talking a series. Yeah. Just on your way out to Seattle.
Play a game.
The Red Sox stop over in Iowa along with Tampa, and they play a game. And it's set on the schedule. And then people can go and
that's come. The idea of that is great. But, again, it has to be put in the schedule correctly, whereas if the Red Sox are going to Seattle, they have to have a certain period of time where you don't want them getting to Seattle at 2 o'clock in the morning for a 2 p.m. game type of thing.
Josh, stop raining on my parade here. I think every team should play there.
I do, too. I'm not arguing with that. I think it's just a matter of them figuring out how to make it work into everybody's schedule because everybody has their schedules.
Yeah,
and
so it doesn't put anyone at a disadvantage.
Exactly.
Well, Iowa's in the middle of the country.
It is.
I'm saying that you could have a stopover. It's a stopover. Yes. It's not a special trip.
But you still have to build it into the schedule. That's
the
thing.
And I think that if it's important enough, and all three of us agree, all four of us probably agree, baseball needs something like this. Just like the NHL did their
Winter Classics.
That has expanded into Lake Tahoe, and they do 5 or 6 games now a year. They're doing it because it brings the fan base up, and the Field of Dreams are going to do the exact same thing.
Right.
Now, they're saying, what about other venues? Play in Notre Dame Stadium? So, no.
No, it's the baseball place.
Do you think, I don't disagree with what you're saying, but if you're gonna have 16 games, is that gonna take away the specialness of it? Like when is it gonna?
Not for the Red Sox fan and whoever they're playing.
Okay.
It's one team plays there, and this game was open up to just Iowa's, and so maybe they could figure out they have 8,000 seats.
Yes, 8,000. Yeah.
So, maybe
you probably have to go to season ticket holders or something.
Well, at some point, the Iowans are going to say, I don't want to go see Tampa or something like that. And so maybe it's 2,000 are reserved for Iowans.
But if you build it, they will come, Mike.
6,000, are brought to a lottery for 3,000 for Boston, 3,000 for Tampa. And you don't make the stadium bigger, though. Mm-hmm. You make it quaint like that because, from what I read, that's what the players really liked about it. It was quaint. It was tight. Everybody was close to the field.
Yeah.
You could smell the corn if you could do that kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I walked through the corn. That place. I was driving out west to see my brother. That was not on the way for me to go there. Mm-hmm. I purposely went out of my way to go there. I planned the trip around going to that place.
What was it like when you visited?
It was ridiculous. Like, it was like you were walking into the movie. It had not changed.
Wow.
You just walk in there. You drive around a corner, and all of a sudden, there it is. It's right there. It's like there's just a field sitting in the middle of the corn.
Is there like a gift shop and stuff like that?
Yeah, there's a gift shop there, and it sits in one of the old barns. And they don't make any money on that movie, the people who own that farm. They make no money on the movie. They have to pay to use the movie rights. So I have a shirt that says Field of Dreams. They have to pay to use those things on their merchandise. But I'm sure now that they've got this new stadium, they're getting some money out of this deal because the new field is out there. But it was just – it was a
to me, it was just totally worth driving all the way out there just to see that, because it was just like you drive there, it looks exactly like.
We're going to take a quick break, but I have some more questions about Field of Dreams. So, Mike and the Haas. Mike and the Haas is sponsored by Duran Independent Insurance. If you're in the market for your health, life, or long-term care insurance, start with Paul Duran at Duran Independent Insurance. Paul and his team can answer any of your insurance questions with an independent voice. They can help you shop for the best rates available in New Hampshire and are your trusted time saver. So for any of your life, health, or long-term care insurance, start with Duran Independent Insurance. You can reach them at 603-569-6464 or duranindependentinsurance.com. Duran is independent and works for you.
Hey, this is Mike and Charlie from Mike and the Haas. If you're looking for a great night out, try the Full Belly Bar and Grill at Kingswood Country Club. The Bar and Grill is a delicious Friday night prime rib for $20, plus additional food and drink specials every night.
Hey, Mike, don't forget about the Full Belly Deli on Mill Street in downtown Wolfboro for some of the tastiest subs in town. You have to try the Full Belly Deli. Both restaurants offer delivery and takeout. You can reach the Full Belly Deli at 603-569-1955.
And you can reach the Bar and Grill at 603-569-9869. And check out the 2021 Summer Concert Series on the Full Belly Bar and Grill Facebook page.
Going on a trip? Start your travels with less stress.
JCN Shuttle offers transportation to and from all local and regional airports, concert venues, sporting events, and will even take you to the casino.
Need to get your car to Florida? JCN Shuttle features long-haul vehicle transport to anywhere in the continental United States.
JCN Shuttle is locally owned and operated and fully insured.
They are currently offering a 10% discount off the purchase of any gift certificate.
Give JCN Shuttle a call at 603-515-1894 or visit jcnshuttle.com.
JCN Shuttle will take you anywhere at any time.
Let them do the driving so you don't have to.
Welcome back, 569-5253. On Full Belly Bar and Grill this weekend, it's April Cushman going from 7 to 10 Saturday night. So you can call up Full Belly Bar and Grill and make your reservations. April Cushman.
And that's at the golf course.
That's
Kingswood
the golf course, yeah.
Should be a good time.
Real quick, Field of Dreams stuff. I mentioned, you know, it's laid on thick. I mentioned A-Rod. I thought the A-Rod piece was stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, if A-Rod had his choice, he would have kicked out to one of the Yankees and played the game himself, because that guy's all about being in.
It's all about, you know, A-Rod.
You mentioned the Ortiz piece. You know, I guess as Red Sox. I thought that was corny, too.
Yeah.
And it's Josh, getting back to going there, because I haven't had the chance to go there. Do you pay to get in?
It's all free. You can just go and you can walk around. You can throw the ball on the field. Like, evidently, sometimes there's teams like Cal Ripken or something that pay to reserve the field so they can use the field to play a game or something like that.
So they do have games there.
I believe that's what I to understanding. But you can just walk around if you and then they give, like, I think if you pay at certain times you can go in the farmhouse. You can tour the farmhouse, which was changed for the movie. They like literally renovated the house for the movie so they could move around easier inside the house with the cameras and stuff.
Does somebody live there?
Yep.
So that
same family.
So that
same family,
that family
lives there,
that's their property.
And they back when the movie was made, famously, after the movie came out, the baseball field was built on two separate properties, and it was separated. And after the movie was done filming, they famously, the other family planted the corn back where it was, so the corn went from the third base bag straight out into right field.
Okay.
And you only had a partial part of the field because they didn't want to lose their corn. They didn't want to lose their, the Lansing family eventually bought that piece of land so that they could keep the field. They felt that it was just right to keep
traditional.
The field.
Yeah.
Do they maintain the field themselves?
I believe so, yes. I don't know that 100% though.
This sounds like a great job for you.
I know.
Like you could have your field that's got lights.
I don't know. Make it like, I got to go grow corn though first.
The problem is getting to Dyersville, Iowa.
Yeah.
Is a challenge. Where did, actually, maybe you know this. I didn't even look into it. Where did the player stay?
I don't know. Yeah. I would assume that, you know, I mean, it's not far off the highway. It's not, you know, I mean, it wasn't like I had to drive, you know, hundreds of miles off the highway. It was just I had to drive on a different highway than I normally would have driven on to get to where I was going.
Yeah.
So. Interesting. Yeah.
It is. It's
all 16, all 32 teams play.
Yeah.
Once
but we
a
know
year.
We know at least guaranteed that they're coming back next year with at least one game.
Yeah.
Okay. So it'll be good.
Nice. Josh, welcome back.
Thanks.
How long were you there for?
What, 17, 18 days, something like that.
So that's a pretty extensive.
We're talking about Tokyo right now.
Yes, we're talking about Tokyo,
not Iowa.
Not Iowa.
No, I was only in Iowa for a few hours.
You know, I had mentioned at the beginning of the show that I think Charlie had a take, you know, early on that the Olympics overall was kind of a bust for NBC. And
yes,
I mean, to an extent, you know, I think that everybody looks at it as a bust for NBC and that the ratings were the lowest they've had in a while. But the ratings for everything are low.
Yeah.
It's not. It's this is not uncommon. This is, you know, you look across the board. Everybody's ratings every year are low, get lower and lower and lower.
Are you talking Olympics? Because Field of Dreams didn't have low ratings.
But there is nothing to compare that to. Like as far as former Field of Dreams games.
But as far as Olympics, it's kind of been going downhill.
Yes, it's been going downhill as has everything else.
Yeah. Do you find winter more popular than summer?
Olympics are a bigger entity.
That is the okay.
There's more. Events, there's more, so they probably get more viewers simply because there's more events. But I mean, it was still the most watched program most of the nights that it was on the air.
Gotcha.
On NBC. Yeah. So I mean, it was not.
Even though it was a bust, it was still very popular.
It was still popular enough.
My take was it was a bust not from just like a fan like me watching it. It was from advertisers and things like that.
Yeah, and evidently some advertisers did. Pull out of it.
We had heard that Toyota pulled out of it in Japan.
Yeah.
What was Japan's, I mean, being walking the streets of Japan, were they happy that the Olympics were there or was there any protests? Was there any backlash on that?
We didn't get to walk a lot of streets of Japan simply because we were kind of in a bubble. But I out of all the time there, I saw one protest. It was on my second or third to last day. It's outside the Olympic Stadium, so the big stadium where they hold track and closing ceremonies and whatnot. And, you know, there were police there. There was no violence. Police, there was just chanting and police people talking on megaphones. And the police were there to keep the peace. And they didn't seem to be causing, and nobody seemed to be causing any problems, at least while I was. We got off the bus right next to where they were, got off the bus and walked through security and went into the thing with no problems. So that was the only protest I saw while I was there. I mean, it was widely reported that, you know, people in Japan weren't thrilled with it, but they kept us in a fairly good bubble where we got the numbers every day. We got numbers from the Tokyo government saying, here's the numbers of the people within the Olympics dealing with COVID and here's the testing numbers. And they were very small within anybody within the Olympic community. The numbers were minute. The numbers in the Tokyo as a whole were not small. They kept growing and growing and growing every day. But we weren't, I mean, we were allowed, after 14 days, we were allowed to leave the Olympic bubble. I don't know why they didn't think we could catch it and spread it after 14 days, but that's besides the point. We were allowed to leave. We got subway cards. We could ride the subway if we so chose. And you could go and explore if you wanted to. I didn't go too far. Mainly because I had a show to come back to, and if I got in trouble and got COVID, I'd have to stay there and miss the show my castmates and stuff. So
recapping, what was your favorite event that, you know, that you look at as the most memorable for you?
You know, strangely enough, and this is not something I was really looking forward to. It's not something that I was thought would be one of my highlights, but it was diving. It was the girl from Dover who won the silver medal in the synchronized diving. The U.S. had never won a medal. She won the silver. They had never won a medal in the women's 10-meter springboard synchronized diving. And I don't think, personally, I wasn't expecting her to win. I don't know if anybody was expecting them to get a medal. And they were in seventh place after the first dive and sixth place after the second dive. So it wasn't like they were. Then all of a sudden they just busted out. Died in their last two dives, had an amazing performance and pulled out and finished second. And something like that where you're not expecting people is kind of cool. And the same thing with the gymnastics with the floor exercise where Simone Biles was supposed to compete. And that was the one night I went to gymnastics and I was supposed to compete and had backed out. But the U.S. still gets the spot. So Jade Carey filled in for her, won gold medal in floor exercise. Wow. So it's things like that that, you know, are kind of cool to see that, you know, somebody that maybe wasn't expected to do that does it.
Now, she wasn't expected to compete in the floor exercise,
nope,
right?
She was not.
So is she like an understudy that she had a routine ready to go?
No, I mean, she competed in the team event. And when you compete in the team event, you do the floor exercise.
You do the same one.
So, I mean, you do the same one. Yeah, you only have one that you prepare. But I don't know whether she did the floor exercise in the team event or not. I didn't see the team event. But in the team event, everybody does a certain different, like they all don't have to do every single event. So, but she was the backup team floor exercise athlete for USA Gymnastics. So when Simone couldn't do it,
so they do have like an understudy. Each event has a backup.
You would think.
Yeah, I mean they're all there. They're there.
I don't really know much about gymnastics at all.
They're there. I mean, like when they do the team event, they were all there. Like Jade Carey was part of the team event. You know, same with the ones who won there, the Suni Lee and when they were all part of the team. And they all had their own individual apparatuses. And like in some instances, the U.S. had two spots in an apparatus. And in some instances, they only had one. And in most cases, if there was one, Simone had been the one who had qualified to get those spots, like she did in balance beam. But if they had two, it was her and someone else. But in floor exercise, it was Simone, and then she couldn't do it. And Jade Carey stepped up, won gold medal, which was kind of cool. It was I honestly thought the girl from... I was sitting in the press area, and I was sitting with a bunch of people from Italy, and the girl from Italy, who's about 30 years old, so she has about 15 years on some of these kids.
Wow.
She had an amazing routine. I thought she was gonna. She ended up getting silver. It was her fourth Olympics, her first medal, and she ended up getting silver. I thought she had a better performance, but I'm not a gymnastics judge, so I can't judge those things.
How can you tell?
Did you have a chance? Did you go to the women's basketball gold medal game?
Yep.
And then you also went to the men's?
Yep.
So how were those?
The women's game was not much of a contest. I mean, but it was against Japan, so it was kind of cool. The Japanese were, it was, they had a lot of the, because it was the last day of the Olympics. That was the day of the closing ceremonies. They had a lot of the volunteers. They had a lot of volunteers that they brought out and hadn't let them sit in the audience to watch.
Mm-hmm.
So the Japanese people had a good cheering contingency there. You know, they could do that. And I mean, it wasn't much of a game after a while. I mean, Japan hung around, but you knew that there wasn't going to be, it wasn't going to be Brittany Griner was just dominating inside. Mm-hmm. They had no answer for
that. That was their seventh straight for the women.
Yes. So. Fifth gold medal for Sue Bird and Diana Taurasi, which is insane when you think about it. Yeah,
wow. It is.
Yeah.
How about the guys? You saw Mike's favorite player, Jason Tatum.
I did, and I actually saw him in the first round game. He played. It was the second game they played. They played against Czech Republic.
Oh, you saw Blake Schlipp then.
Blake Schlipp, yeah. And he played, and Jason Tatum had a great game in that game. He had like 20 some odd points. But the men's game, I wasn't sure they were going to win just because the way they've been playing leading up to it. But when it counted, they came through. I mean, Kevin Durant was a monster.
Yeah.
I mean, he really.
Did they play together or did they play as individuals?
It looked like they played together. I mean, it looked that way. I mean, I think once they realized, oh crap, we can be in trouble here, they kind of put things together. And I think they came out a little bit more as a team once they that first loss to France kind of woke them up. I think.
Who was the leader of that team?
Kevin Durant,
okay.
No question. I don't think there's any kind of. I mean, he was the captain. He's the guy. He's the now the U.S. Olympics leading scorer of all time. So
right.
I mean, the dude can do it.
Before we get off the Olympics, I'm just curious, and Josh, your perspective because you follow the Olympics more than we do, and this is your second summer that you went to.
First summer.
This is your first summer. So the U.S. won 113 medals,
mm-hmm.
39 gold, 41 silver, 33 bronze.
Okay.
More than any other country by a significant amount. Was this a good Olympics for the United States?
I think so.
Okay.
I mean, I think that they always have a pretty good chance of winning more medals than everybody else simply because they get a lot more people involved in every single sport. You know, some of these countries don't have a lot of these sports where they can put people in to compete for medals. And the U.S. always seems to have somebody competing for something, seemingly except for handball. We never seem to get in on that. But I think it was a fairly system, particularly when you look at those teams. I mean, men's basketball at the end of the Olympics. Men's basketball, women's water polo, women's indoor volleyball, women's beach volleyball, 5 gold medals in the last 3 days. I think it was at the most. It may have been 2 days. It was just a show of force of some of those particularly teams that they have some very 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 good teams that seem to be dominant. And then you have the individual athletes who can do their thing too, and they won medals in gymnastics. U.S. has won, I think, going back to 2008 or even before, they've won every single women's gymnastics all around gold medal.
Wow.
I mean, which is amazing when one for one country, all different. Every single one was a different person that won it. There's never been the same person. So
yeah, I have the gymnastics won 6 medals: 2 gold, 2 silver, 2 bronze.
Yeah. And Suni Lee won the all around, and so she fought Simone Biles, won it in Rio, and before her it was so 2016 was Rio, 2012 I believe it was the Gabby Douglas, and then before, so they just, it just goes like, it goes, the gymnastics, U.S. gymnastics, a woman has won the gold medal for, like, going back, I want to say 5-6 Olympics that they've won, which is amazing, and they're all by different people, so.
Awesome. All right. Hey, when we come back, let's continue. I have some more Olympic questions.
All right, but we also have Eric Swenders when
we come
back.
Do.
All right, Mike and the Haas.
Hey, this is Charlie Hossack from Mike and the Haas. Whether you're an Olympic athlete, weekend warrior, or just plain old like me, you should visit Seacoast Spine and Sports Injury Clinic. They have locations in Portsmouth, Hampton, and Alton, New Hampshire. The clinic has received numerous awards such as Best of Seacoast and Best of New Hampshire, and they accept most major health insurances. The clinic provides chiropractic sports medicine, routine chiropractic care, physical therapy, and naturopathic medicine. My family and I have been regular patients at the Seacoast Spine and Sports Clinic for the past 6 years and highly recommend them for all of your healthcare needs. Check them out on the web at seacoastsportsinjuries.com.
Hey, this is Mike from Mike and the Haas. If you're in the real estate market, start with Faye Moore at Berkshire Hathaway. Faye brings 30 years experience to real estate in the Lakes region. If you're planning on selling, call Faye, and she could set up a complimentary market analysis to value your home and discuss anything you can do to help your house sell quicker and for more money. If you're buying, start with Faye. No one knows the local market better than Faye, and she will find the perfect house for you. So whether buying or selling, start with Faye Moore at Berkshire Hathaway by calling 888-723-0306 or verani.com.
Everyone deserves a treat in life. The Yum Yum Shop in beautiful downtown Wolfboro is offering an amazing deal on their Gingy Boxes. Gingy Boxes are 24 delicious gingerbread cookies with 2 containers of frosting. Gingy Boxes can be shipped anywhere in the world. When you order online at yumyumshop.com, enter the code WASR or Mike and the Haas to receive $5 off your order.
So don't forget, to save $5 on a Gingy Box, enter the code WASR or Mike and the Haas at yumyumshop.com. Five six nine 5253 Mike and the Haas and WASR. All right. We're going to hold off on Eric Swenders for a couple minutes because...
Just for a couple minutes. Actually, right. I really only had one more question. I only had one more question for Josh. And I just wanted to know, did you have a chance to contact Dr. Lovelace while you were over there? Did you
yes.
see her? Did you guys
yes.
communicate?
Yes. I saw her twice at the BMX. They did. She actually had a rough... I don't know if you heard that. Connor Fields, the gold medalist from Rio, had a crash not long while I was there, but I was in the media center by that point. And he had to be airlift. He had to be taken to the hospital. He had to be leave. He left the course. He got taken off the course. He had to be taken to the hospital. And he was in intensive care at
wow.
the hospital. He finally was able to leave Japan 2 days before the Olympics ended. And this happened back earlier.
Beginning.
Yeah, it was bad. He had head injury.
Was
the issue, and of course he has no family there. Family couldn't travel with them,
sure.
So there was a lot, and she had to deal with a lot of that. She was a doctor with the BMX team. The team doctor for U.S. Cycling was up at the indoor, the velodrome where
yep.
they do the indoor cycling and where they did the road cycling and they did the mountain biking. The team official, full-time team doctor, was up there at that venues, which are further away. So she was the in charge of the BMX zone, and
yeah.
So she was dealing with a lot when it came to that accident. That was a rough accident.
Wow.
So.
Wow. He's okay though. They got him back to
the United States, and he was out of intensive care, and
yeah.
he was doing better.
I saw his tweet. Yeah. He had tweeted something
yeah.
then.
Yeah. Well, it's good that you got
okay.
to connect with
oh, yeah,
her. I mean,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
nice having
did,
that.
Did a story.
Connection.
Did a story in that. Yeah. And, so that was good.
That's great. Yeah. Enjoy.
How many stories did you do?
I don't know. I didn't count them, really. I mean, I didn't write about everything I went to. That's the thing. I went to things just because I wanted to go to places. Like, I wanted to go to the Budokan. I wanted to go there. I didn't really write about judo, but I went to the Budokan because I wanted to go. I didn't write about everything that I went to. But, if I found a story idea or something, I just kind of put it in.
Nice.
I don't think I wrote anything more. I wrote less than I usually do during high school season. I can tell you that.
Yeah. So. I enjoyed reading your blogs. It's always
Speaking of high school season, that starts today.
I know. And he's taking
yeah.
time with us.
I know.
Oh, nice.
Yes, he is.
He's not ready for that. That's fine.
Yeah. So Eric had a wonder. He said, what is Eric's wonder sponsored by?
Oh, Eric's.
Who is it?
It's.
What is?
It's sponsored. It's
a what?
Eric's wonder is sponsored by Skelly's Market.
The convenience store with a little more.
You got it.
So is that a who or a what?
It's a what.
That's a what. That's a
yeah.
what.
What is it? Yeah.
But you can say who and it's okay. Like who
but,
sponsors
but, that,
it?
But that's a what. Yeah. I was right the first time.
You're always right, Mike. Oh, yeah. But it's Skelly's Market, the convenience store with a little more. You've been to Skelly's Market, Josh, right?
I was there today.
Do you have what did you get? What did you get today?
Today, all I had today was the broccoli cheese bites.
Eating healthy, are we?
Yes, those broccoli.
Are
broccoli, Mike.
Those are delicious.
Deep fried.
Wingdings there are delicious. Their pizza special on Saturday nights. You got to get to Skelly's. I don't think you've been to Skelly's Market.
I have.
You've been to Skelly's Market? Yes. What are you doing up in Moultonboro?
Well, sometimes if I'm going to Plymouth, I'll go that way.
All right.
Get
your
breakfast
good.
Sandwich.
I like it. Breakfast sandwich, 99 cent breakfast sandwich. Mm.
I usually splurge and go for the croissant.
Oh, no
a little
way.
Bit more money.
Isn't that like $1.69?
Nah, it was $2.99, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's, I mean, that's
wow. Really? Chip's making some money on that.
He makes money on me all over the place.
But cheapest gas in the Lakes region?
That's right.
Well, not right now.
Whoa.
No, we're not going to say that.
Well, you don't want to say that on
there. You just did.
But yeah, no, we're going to Skelly's
Market. All right, we're
going
to go to.
I always go to Skelly's Market.
Yeah.
So, Coach Skelly might be listening. What is the infield fly rule, and is it used? Am I got that correct, Eric?
That is correct.
All right. Do you want me to take this?
Yeah,
or
take
you want
it, Mike.
To take
I mean, Mike, you are the middle school coach of the year for baseball. Why would you not take this?
So we're moving off the boat now. We're going to do that.
Phineas
right?
J. Whoopi of sports.
Yeah.
So, basically, Eric, the infield fly rule was put in place to protect the runners that are on base. And so the general rule says that if there are less than two outs, and there's a runner on first and second, or first, second, and third, and a reasonably catchable pop fly ball is hit, where an infielder, or in some cases in Major League Baseball, an outfielder can come and catch it too if they come in shallow, the batter is ruled out before the guy catches the ball. And the reason for that is so that somebody cannot intentionally drop the ball and then double up the runners, because you understand in baseball that a runner, if a ball is caught, they have to tag up at the base. And so when a pop fly is up and, you know, everybody's on the infield, the runner can't go very far away from the base. And so if the infielder let the ball drop, he could throw the ball to, let's say in this case, third and then second, and get an easy double play because those runners haven't gone anywhere. And so the infield fly rule basically does that to protect those runners and declare the runner automatically out. I'm not the runner, the hitter automatically out.
The runners can advance on their own risk.
Yeah. So it's important for the runners to understand the infield fly rule, too, because a lot of times it's at the middle school, because they haven't dealt with it a lot.
Right.
Umpire will call infield fly. Runners are, you know, what's that? Then the ball will drop because the player doesn't have to catch the ball. The ball will drop, and then the players see the ball drop, and then they take off because they don't understand that they don't have to take off. They can stay there to protect those runners. How'd they do?
Better than before, because I had no idea.
That's great.
There you go.
Eric's Wonder, sponsored by Skelly's Market, the
convenience store with a little more.
Well done.
All right.
Yummy, yummy.
What do we said we're going to go Red Sox, didn't we?
Yeah, let's talk Red Sox.
Good weekend. As Josh just said, it's nothing like a good dose of Baltimore to make you feel better.
Yeah, definitely. So they're three games, still second place in the East, three games back, two and a half ahead of the Yankees.
Okay.
42 games left in the regular season.
Should we be feeling better about the Red? We are feeling better about the Red Sox.
We have to feel better. Chris Sale's back.
Do we feel better about because of the results, or do we feel better about now their pitching rotation seems to be a lot better than it was?
It seems to be more stable.
Yes.
You put Sale in there, and that makes a huge difference in any rotation, even if he's only going to go five innings for a first few starts or whatever. And Erod seems to be throwing much better. And, you know, you're not looking at Garrett Richards every 5 days or Martin Perez every 5 days. You got Tanner Houck and you got
Pivetta.
And you got Pivetta, Ivaldi. Ivaldi. And I think that Ivaldi can be so nasty if he's on his game. And I think that
None of those guys were the one. None of the guys were that stud at the top.
No. Yeah.
They didn't have that alpha
at the
top.
I mean, that's what Erod said. We've got our man back.
And it's so important that bringing Chris Sale back into that rotation, it almost like put everybody else in line. It's like a football player on the offensive line.
Right.
That, you know, you're missing your right guard. And then when the right guard comes, everybody goes back to the regular positions and everybody's playing better. Mm-hmm. It's much more of a cohesive unit. Mm-hmm. The Red Sox have a very good rotation right now if they stop sending Tanner Houck down to the minors every
I think well, that was
that was just, that was
they're,
that was
they're
just
using a, up all
yeah.
his options.
Yeah.
And they must be feeling really good about him too, because they're using up all his options this year, because they're feeling that
he'll be back to pitch tomorrow for the doubleheader.
And that he's going to be permanently, I mean, he's going to be a Red Sox.
He's going to be part of the rotation.
That they're not worried about him being in the minors next year.
No. Right.
I don't even think he's going to be in the minors much more this year. I just they needed to make room, and they got the they knew they had
They've
the extra
like
person.
Six options on him this
well,
year.
Well, they knew they had the extra person for the doubleheader this year tomorrow, and so why not just use him as that extra person, then keep him here after that.
Right. Does it? He's not leaving the team, but he has to leave the locker room. He can't. Unpack.
Yeah. Right.
For hopefully it's the last time, because I think that kind of movement is probably difficult. But regardless, the Red Sox rotation is stable, as you said, Josh, more than it has been all year long. And not seeing Garrett Richards out there demanding that he's a starter. I am a little worried
you'll
about
see,
that.
We're going to see Richards and Perez in the bullpen, though.
Yeah, but I think Garrett Richards thinks that he should be a starter.
Well.
And he did pitch well in sales relief, and I thought that was, a nice sign. But he came out. He says, "I have starter stuff," and you're a little worried about what
maybe
he's
going
to do.
Maybe he
can
show us our starter stuff in the sixth, seventh inning, maybe the eighth inning.
Well, the way that teams throw now, if a pitcher goes to the sixth, that's a long game. They need those guys, and a Garrett Richards who can throw three. And then you could save Garrett Whitlock for his one and a half, and Ottaviano.
Yeah, Ottaviano.
Those guys are more one inning guys. How about the offense? Where are we at with the offense?
Well, Schwarber's back, but I don't know if that's going to provide any offense.
I don't think he can hurt. I don't think he's
got a couple hits. He's got a couple hits yesterday.
I don't think it hurts. I don't think it hurts the offense one bit.
No.
Having him there. I mean, right now he doesn't really have a position in playing him at DH. You put JD Martinez in left field. Well, JD Martinez isn't a horrible outfielder. He's not the best outfielder. He's not a horrible outfielder. I think that you put him out in the outfield. And Schwarber plays every couple days now as he gets back to full health.
I agree with that. Travis Shaw's back.
Does that excite you?
I like Travis Shaw. I don't know if it excites me.
In my
but.
Closet somewhere, I have a Travis Shaw shirt.
Really? He's batting 176.
Yeah.
Six home runs.
See what happens.
He should walk out of the corner with the Yankees. So I'm upset about the Travis Shaw thing just because I thought that Schwarber going to first base was a legitimate option for them.
Yeah.
And then you had that lefty-righty thing with Dahlbeck and Schwarber, and I thought that would be pretty good. You know Cora's going to get Travis Shaw at bats. Mm-hmm. And
I don't know how many bats he's going to give him. I mean, right now Dahlbeck's hitting like crazy, so it's hard to take him out of the lineup and put anybody else in there.
Especially since they've been waiting all year for him to start hitting.
And we had talked about this last time, Josh. We had said, when you look at a lineup, if the guy's hot, you gotta keep him in there. And I think Cora's smart enough to do that. Just if he's hitting, you keep him in.
Yeah, and I worry about JD Martinez playing in the outfield often, just so they can get Schwarber in. Does he break down? I mean, he kind of already broke down a lot. He's starting to hit again.
Right.
I mean, I think it's weird that as Sale came back, not only did it give some stability to their pitching rotation, all of a sudden they have some consistent lineups. Yeah. That they're starting to starting to see, which is
the good news with Sale coming back is based on his track record, he breaks down. So based on what he typically does, he'll be breaking down in the middle of November, so it won't matter then. So having him come back in August, I think is fantastic.
Yes,
yeah, but you're missing the first half of the season.
Yeah,
but the Red Sox are still hanging around though, which is great. But, so
what was impressive with Sale is that. He's good. Now he had a little extra time though. He did have.
They let him.
Yeah,
have that time.
He did have that extra time. But he's come back. You get these. I forget the word for it, but like in hockey, you see it in NHL a lot. A guy comes back. Hasn't played for 6 months. He comes back, scores two goals, and just picks up where he left off.
Yeah.
That's where I felt Sale did. He came in after Michael Jordan when he came out of retirement.
Right.
Was Michael Jordan when there wasn't his game's a 10, he was playing like at a 9.5. Sale pitched as like he would have before he got hurt.
I think he pitched like he would have, but I think before he got hurt he would have gone 7 innings or 8 innings.
No, I agree with that. And maybe instead of 95, he topped at 95, maybe he gets to 97.
Yeah.
But it's pretty impressive that not really throwing and the mentality, that bulldog mentality that he had, showed a lot of leadership. And everybody rallied around him.
He went to the minors, and he did the whole minor league thing. He rode the buses with the guys, and he did the whole, I'm part of this team, let's just have fun. And that says a lot, too, because, not everybody does that. You go down there, you just do your own thing, and you do your rehab, and you come home.
We talked about it last week that he offered to pay, he wanted them to stay overnight the night before, and he offered to pay for that.
Yeah.
And the Red Sox came through and says, no, we'll grant that, but we'll also pay for it.
You know who wouldn't have done that? David Price.
David Price would not have done that.
He probably wouldn't even ridden the bus.
JBJ would have.
And I was reading, you know, I was reading the other day that I think it was E-Rod that was talking about, he says it was guys like David Price and Chris Sale, and and he says these guys are guys that I follow that have made my transition to the major leagues easier. So I mean,
that's pretty impressive that he mentioned David Price.
I think it was E-Rod.
I'm a little worried that he mentioned David Price.
I think it was E-Rod. Yeah.
Maybe he liked the way David Price raked the mound,
or did he dumped on Eck? Maybe he liked that part too.
Well, don't go there.
Well, I just did.
Yeah,
I missed Jerry Remy too.
Yeah, Rem Dog.
Any update on Jerry Remy?
I haven't heard anything new.
No, I haven't either. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to talk Celtics when we come back. Mike and the Hoss.
Mike and the Hoss is sponsored by the Downtown Grill and Cafe. When in downtown Wolfboro, don't forget to stop at the Downtown Grill and Cafe. The Downtown Grill is open from 7 to 3, 7 days a week, 364 days a year, serving breakfast and lunch with daily specials and delicious homemade soups. The grill offers the finest organic and fair trade gourmet coffee and tea, several gluten-free options, and a unique and delicious breakfast and lunch menus. So for some of the best breakfast and lunch options in town, visit the Downtown Grill and Cafe during your next visit.
Are you getting married, celebrating an anniversary, or just want to bring something beautiful to that holiday celebration? Lindis Flowers has been serving the Lakes region since 2003. They specialize in fresh-cut flowers, bouquets, plants, and gifts. Lindis Flowers is owned by Gwen, who is a Wolfboro native and focused on serving the local community. 569-4513, or stop by their shop, 91 Center Street in Wolfboro, New Hampshire. The shop is open Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, and Saturday, 9 to 1. You can also visit their website at flowersinwolfboronh.com, and Lindis Flowers will deliver right to your door. After the program today, I'm heading to Skelly's Market in Moultonboro, New Hampshire. They have all your grocery needs, plus more with great customer service. Pizza, subs, fried chicken, and a great selection of meats to put on your grill. On Saturday nights, there's always the much-loved pizza special, with two large topping pizzas for only $20. Skelly's also features Richardson's Ice Cream and the world-famous Bailey's Hot Fudge. Enjoy your visit to Skelly's Market at 374 Governor Wentworth Highway in Moultonboro, New Hampshire, and see why Skelly's is the convenience store with a little more.
Hey, Charlie, you know who else has some great ice cream?
Bailey's Bubble on Railroad Ave in downtown Wolfboro?
That's right. A Wolfboro institution. They're open from 11 to 9, 7 days a week.
Make sure you tell them Mike and the Hoss sent you.
Welcome back to Mike and the Hoss, 569-5253. Josh Spaulding is with us in studio to talk all things sports, specifically the Olympics, but we've branched out. We did some Red Sox, and now we got to talk some Celtics.
Yes.
Because the Celtics have been a little busy.
They have been.
Yeah.
And did you see that Celtics are playing in the Summer League Championship game?
I saw that tomorrow night.
That's exciting.
It is. Did you also see that your buddy Peyton Pritchard scored 92 points?
Yes, I did see that. That's crazy. And we didn't talk about Isaiah Thomas last week when some pro-am game he scored 81 points or something. I'd love to see Isaiah Thomas return.
I'm all in for Isaiah coming back.
He was a lot
of
fun.
And he's all in on coming back, too. Yeah. He's basically buying billboards in Boston saying, please sign me.
I mean, I think the fans are all in.
Why aren't they?
Convince Brad Stevens.
Why does Brad want him back?
I don't know.
I think it's a matter of whether he wants him back. How's he going to fit? Where is he going to fit? Where is he going to fit in
point
the payroll?
Guard?
Well, speaking of Peyton Pritchard, so I pulled up the current.
Well, let's talk about Dennis Schroeder first.
Well, that's what I was.
Yeah, okay.
I'm going to run through this.
All right.
So right now, the depth chart for the Celtics is your point guard is Dennis Schroeder. Dennis Schroeder, our new point guard, turned down $80 million for the Los Angeles Lakers.
Unbelievable.
And bet on himself. And boy, did he roll a dud. He, $5.9 million, 1 year deal.
Yeah.
But I bet you he's going to play his butt off to prove that he deserves more than that.
I agree. He's going to give the Celtics everything that he can so he can market himself.
Yeah. Okay, I'm just questioning his decision-making ability right now.
Yeah. I mean, could any of us, we don't even come close to that. Like, I wouldn't, like, turn down $8 right now, but let alone $80 million.
Smartest guy on the floor is supposed to be your point guard.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he did some poor math, and so I'm busting on him a little bit. I mean, we've seen
this
happen before.
It's quite the gamble.
I mean, Jody Reed did the same thing in old Red Sox history. He turned down a big
Jody
extension.
Nomar
Garcia Parra turned down at the time. It was 4 years, 15 per year, which was big back in 2000.
It was huge back then, yeah.
And he turned that down, and then
I don't know.
Actually, it was 2003 he turned that down, and then they traded him the next year.
Yeah. So
that worked out okay though for the Red Sox.
It did. It worked out great.
It didn't work out for Nomar.
I loved Nomar. But that worked out well for the Red Sox.
Did you watch the game on Saturday, the Red Sox game on Saturday? Did you see Xander Bogaerts get hit in the wrist?
No, I heard it. I was ahead of the radio.
Okay. So he gets hit in the wrist, and then Kiki Hernandez also gets hit in the wrist.
Yeah.
Same kind of that Nomar was never the same
never
when
the
he
same
got hit
after
in the
he
wrist.
Got hit.
Yeah. Never the same. He started pulling out. Remember at the beginning of his career, he was going the other way all the time. He had that power.
Yeah.
He'd
push
he could
it.
Hit the
yeah.
ball the other
yep.
When he got hit in the wrist, everything was pulling that front shoulder out, and yeah. I saw the same thing with Xander, except when Xander's next at bat, he intentionally kept that front shoulder in. He's just like, I'm staying in this thing and stayed in the swing. It was pretty impressive. But Dennis Schroeder, $80 million. All right, here's your new point guard. Shooting guard, you're going to love this one, Marcus Smart.
No, yeah, I don't like anything about that, so. But it is. Go ahead, go through the lineup, and we can talk about him.
Okay. Yeah. Your small forward will be Jaylen Brown.
Yeah.
Your power forward is going to be Jason Tatum.
Yep.
And your center is going to be Robert Williams III.
Yep. We'll see some Horford in there, too.
Well, I'm going to go to your seconds in a second, but is that a NBA championship team?
No, it's not. It is not.
What do you think, Josh?
I mean, I've heard worse Celtics lineups. You know, as Rick Pitino once said, Larry Bird's not walking through that door. Kevin McHale's not walking through that door.
Right.
So, I mean,
I still think you didn't really do anything different than you did this. Besides Dennis Schroeder, you didn't do anything different. You still have Marcus Smart. You had him last year. You still have Jaylen Brown. You had him last year. You still have Jason Tatum. You had him last year. You still have Robert Williams III. You had him last year. You have the same exact group that you're basically bringing back.
I mean, when do you go with like Pritchard? When do you go with?
I have Pritchard as
Romeo Langford
as the third coming off the bench.
Or Naismith. Yeah.
I don't know. We were both on the same page. This thing needed to be shaken up.
Yeah.
And I think we did not see any chance that all three of Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, and Jason Tatum were coming back.
We didn't think so at all.
We saw maybe two of them.
Yeah.
But we didn't think three of them were coming back.
And now Marcus Smart thinks. I mean, Marcus Smart really wants to be the point guard. I mean, that's like if he were on our program right now, what position do you want to play? He'd want to say, I want to be the point
guard. Dude hustles.
I think he's one of the best, if not the best defender on the court for the Celtics. And I agree.
But he's not a great shooter.
He does hustle, but he's a terrible shooter. And he's actually a fairly good ball handler. So he potentially could play point guard. I just don't want him. I mean, I know it's a shooting guard, and we talked with Eric. Eric had wonders about different numbers, you know, the one, the two. I don't want Marcus Smart thinking he has free reign to shoot the basketball, because that is a recipe for disaster.
Well, having the title of shooting guard is not helping the situation.
That doesn't help. And then one of my kid's friends reminded me that Marcus Smart has the record for three-pointers in Celtics franchise history in a game, which frightens me, because even though he has the record, how many did he shoot 42 times to get that record? Like, that's what frightens me.
The problem is not that he has that record. The problem is how many times he shot the next game. It's always the next game or the next three or four games that Marcus Smart is good for a 24-point game.
Yeah.
But then he's 1-for-13 each of the next three games, and they lose those next three games.
Right.
And that's where Marcus Smart runs into problems. If Marcus Smart would be Marcus Smart, which is a defender who can defend anybody on the court, he can defend a big, he can defend a small, being that tenacious energy that's out there. If he would be that player, the Celtics would be a better team. Marcus Smart going 4-for-15, 4-for-17. As soon as you see double digits in his shot attempts, forget about it. You're in trouble with Marcus.
He's always going to get the Tommy points. I agree with that with the hustle. I agree with you. But
the problem is you don't get paid with that.
No.
And he wants to get paid. He wants to get a max. Now, they offered him a 4-year extension. I want to say it was 20 per. I want to say there was 20 per that the Celtics offered him. And I thought that was pretty big money for Marcus Smart.
Yeah.
He hasn't signed that. He hasn't accepted that yet.
Oh. He must be consulting Schroeder with that whole thing.
That's the last guy. Anybody going to contract advice, do not go to Dennis. Don't go to Dennis.
So I don't know. I was all in with the Celtics, and you know this, Josh, but I was all in with the Celtics last season, and I'm struggling right now.
This is where I think the Celtics are going to be better, is that coming off the bench now, Josh Richardson can score. He can score. Al Horford is going to give you stability, and there will finally be an adult
in
the room.
There'll be some leadership.
Yes.
He has to run that locker room.
They have not had an adult in the room since.
He'll run that locker room.
Let me think here. Who was the last adult they had? Oh, yeah, Al Horford.
Yeah.
That's the last adult they had in the room.
Exactly.
And so bringing him back in, I think, is going to be really good for Jason Tatum, really good for Jalen Brown.
I think it'll be good for Marcus Smart, too.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Peyton Pritchard's not on this list.
No, he's not. He's not on the first or second with depth chart. You got to go to the third.
Yeah. And maybe that's why we're not seeing Isaiah Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Just because there's Isaiah Thomas probably is going to be, you know, the sixth man. He wants to be that first person off the bench.
He won't be.
And he wouldn't be. Yeah. He would probably be the, you know, on the third team, and that's not where he wants to be. Right. Now, there'd be a lot of energy on that third team.
I mean, I don't know what we're going to do without Gershon Yabusele, though.
That's a really good call.
He played for France in that gold medal game. It was kind of funny. Like, hey, I know that name. Yeah. He had a pretty good game.
And Evan Fournier played, right?
Evan Fournier did, too, as well, yeah.
Evan Fournier was almost dominant in the Olympics. He had a very good Olympics. But, again, I he had some good games for the Celtics this year, but that didn't work out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess my question that I put down, are they better? Are they good enough? So I would say, I mean, I'd like to have your opinions. I would say, yes, they're better. And I meant good enough. Are they good enough to reach the NBA Finals? My answer is no.
Well, I mean, depends what you're going to look at in the East. I mean, there's always a chance when you have guys like Tatum and Brown that they play at the level. If they play at the level they're capable of playing, and there's always that chance. I don't know that I'm going to give them an 80% chance of making the NBA Finals. No, absolutely not. But I put their chances in there in the middle of the Eastern Conference pack, okay. I would say. I think that's a fairly safe.
Are they better this year than last year?
Well, they finished seventh last year.
Yeah.
So by being in the middle, do we know if they're going to be doing the same playoff thing that they did where they're going to have that play-in?
Yeah. I don't know.
I put them in the middle of the grouping to make the playoffs. Like, I'm not saying I'm going to put them in the middle of the Eastern Conference. I meant in the middle of the Eastern Conference playoff group.
So you have them like in the fourth, fifth seed.
Yeah, somewhere
so
in
you
there.
So the answer is you have them better then. They're better than last year.
I would think they'd be better.
I agree. I think they're better.
I would agree also. I think they're going to be better, and I have them landing somewhere around the fourth or fifth spot, which is pretty much where I had them landing this year.
Yeah.
Not much more. They're not going to be better than Brooklyn. They're not going to be better than Milwaukee. They probably won't be better than Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's a toss-up after that. It really is. It's a toss-up over that. They're not getting over Brooklyn, though.
I'm becoming very cautious. Last year I had sized all their rings, you know, so I'm not doing that this year.
You didn't have them winning the NBA title. You just had them getting to the finals.
I know, but still, I just, you know, I was so let down.
And
it actually hung
on to it for a while.
I did. It was a long winter. I thought they were going to have some chemistry and actually pull this thing out.
Speaking of winner, you saw McQuaid's back with the Bruins, Chris Kelly back with the Bruins.
As coaches.
Yeah.
That's cool. Exciting.
They're bringing back those guys.
I like that.
I do too. And remember we were trying to figure out the guy that broke his leg in the...
Chris Kelly.
It was Chris Kelly.
Yeah.
And having that guy in the locker room, and if a guy gets off the ice because he's got a hand nail and says, I played with a broken leg.
Assistant coach, yeah.
You know, you get out there. That's,
I mean, he's been around the team. He's been... McQuaid's taking his place as the player development guy. Chris Kelly's been the player development guy.
Yeah.
And so he's just moving in to be the coach now. So that's kind of cool. I like that. I saw that the day. I was like, that's kind of awesome.
How do you feel? David Krejci moving on?
That sads me. He was my favorite Bruin.
He was up there with me. He was as a hockey player, watching him skate on the – when they ran the power play, he was the guy on the power play that would skate the puck up the ice. That, to me, was like watching a swan.
I understand his reasoning, though. He does. He wants to go home and let his kids see play for his –
Oh, and he's a hero over there.
Exactly.
He's
exactly
a hero.
So
he's playing for the national team?
For a team in the
professional team over there?
Over there, yeah.
Okay.
But, the parades and stuff.
That's exciting.
He's coming back as a conquering hero.
And I love David Krejci. He was one of my favorites. I mean, he's going to be missed. I think that
I'm disappointed they signed Taylor Hall, and I was that Krejci to Hall combination. Finally, you give Krejci somebody that can that score, and then
and
he leaves. Yeah. But they're going to need to find somebody for Hall because Krejci, his points skyrocketed when Hall came because he knows how to give guys the puck, especially those scorers. But it's exciting to have Hall. I'm concerned over 4 years. We have a 4-year deal for him because he doesn't have a great track record once he signed his contract. So.
Before we let Josh go, I know we're out of time. You're going to Beijing for the Winter Olympics.
Yep.
All right, and that's
is that January,
February? When is that?
February.
Yeah. Okay, and so will you be there for the same amount of time? A couple weeks?
19 days.
All right. Well, that's exciting, and I know you're a winter guy, so
as long as I can get a flight that doesn't get delayed and canceled and delayed and canceled.
Yeah, maybe not fly through Canada.
Yeah, I'm going to try.
You don't have too much choice.
Well, we're going to try something different.
I don't know. Josh will figure this out.
Maybe get a boat. We'll take a boat. Taking a boat.
There you go.
We'll do some Patriots stuff on Thursday. We want to once again thank our advertisers for supporting Mike and the Hoss on WASR Powered by the MM Shop. Thanks to Faymore, Berkshire Hathaway,
Seacoast Spine and Sports Injuries Clinic,
Skelly's Market,
Lucas Roasting Company,
Duran Independent Insurance,
Carroll County Oil,
Downtown Grill and Cafe,
Weston Auto Body,
Linda's Flowers,
Bradley's Hardware,
JC and Shuttle,
Full Belly Deli,
and the Full Belly Bar and Grill. Josh Balding, thank you for having us. And thank you for joining us. And where can somebody read your blogs?
Just go to blogspot.com and you search for Salmon Sports Guy. That's me.
Awesome. All right, Mike and Hoss.